got my Bible in hand. I hope that you have your bulletin card. Hey, I want to just, you may not be aware of this. This could be your first time here at Hope Chapel. You could be watching us via live stream. So many of you are here probably right now because the first service, I said, immediately after the service, we're providing a complimentary lunch. So way to go, everyone, for showing up at the second service too. Today, it really is an enjoyable time for us as a church. Before we get into the message, I want to just highlight something that we do annually, and that is we open our financial books to church members and church participators. We have such a wonderful story going out here from this church. It really involves you. It involves your giving. It involves your participation. Why would I not want to brag on you and on Jesus? Both are very faithful, and I want to thank you for that. So today at 12, our church council is providing and serving you lunch. So we'll all see what that is in a moment, won't we? And won't that be fun? And then at 1 o'clock, we're inviting you back and others from the first service to our annual business meeting, or our reports are on display. So as we do audits and things like that, we'd love to share what God is doing through you. And it's wonderful. It's outstanding. And so that's going to be a joy for us. Now, I just want to preface, you don't have to come back to the meeting if you eat that lunch. How's that? Is that all right to say that? You're free to go. I've seen many of you saying, I'm just got to eat and run. That's all right. You have my permission. We're just glad you want to hang out in fellowship. So that's a joy for what we do here at Hope Chapel. But we do make it on display, our finances, because that's what, as a four-square church, that's what we do and are responsible for doing. And many of you have talked about becoming members of the church. And I would want to see how that church that I'm going to align my life with till God calls me some other place, I want to know what and how they're doing. Now, let me just add this. Because something like the reports that are on display really signal, it's because of the faithfulness of believers that have grown up into becoming tithers. And I just want to talk to our church and then the rest, just kind of listen just a little bit, because we are going to be talking about the church in the book of Acts. And we look and model so much of that. And that's what I love about that. And I think that's why God's grace is upon this this group of gathering of believers. But I want to thank so many of you who have learned what it is to tithe. And that word tithe means 10%. To be able to recognize that God has given me something, and I understand I'm going to give back a portion to the Lord, and that portion is what the scripture says, first fruits. It's that we want to report on. Even the lunch, we could say, is because of the faithfulness of you that somebody else gets to be blessed. It's the men's breakfast that somebody else gets to be blessed. It's the ladies' Sister Saturday, because of your faithfulness, we just get to say, let's bless them. Our child care provision, because of the stewardship of our church council, taking your sacred gifts. So good. And we say, well, let's not charge the church anything. It's somebody else that's believing that what we're doing, we're going to provide free services. And in the meantime, we've given the second largest missions giving in the 91 years of this church. We gave $186,700 to missions. Now, that's amazing. So I just want to encourage ourselves, if you eat and need to go, I understand that, but it's really pretty exciting. And I want to just encourage you, if you've never stepped into tithing, you have not experienced that. Many of us believe that we need to be generous. Americans, in general, are very generous. Look what our world would be like if there was not America and Americans. We're very generous. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, that is really a different situation. We want to trust God and say, Lord, I acknowledge it's from your hands I received what I received. And If you are needing a breakthrough, you have had setbacks, you've had disappointments, I would say consider tithing to God and see what he does this year for yourselves. Just try. He even says that in Malachi 3:10. Prove me. Put me to the test. I want to encourage you. He's so gracious. He's going to take care of you anyway. But our attitude should always be, it's the Lord's doing, and that's why we tithe. And remember, as I wrap this particular encouragement up, that he's the one, Jesus said, you can't serve both wealth and God. You'll either go after one and despise the other, or vice versa. And I find even well-meaning Christians who do love God, and they have an element of fear about God, they still let money speak to them. In other words, well, honey, should we buy this? Well, we can't afford that bicycle for our child. Well, who said you can't purchase that bicycle? Well, money did. Can you see how that works? So you don't even pray, God, we'd sure like to buy a bicycle for our child. Can't afford it. Would you supply? So many times people let money tell them whether they'll be safe, whether they'll retire properly. Money is speaking. Don't let that happen to you, Christians who are believers. Don't let that happen. And I want to just acknowledge my wife, Ainsley, and I. We were tithers before we got married, so it made sense and easy for us to align our covenant. Say, we will always give anything God wants. So what's 10% to us? And we've been so richly blessed. And I have told God this. God, if I give you my portion, if I give you money, I do not want money in exchange. I want much more than money. I want my whole life to be blessed. I want everything to be touched by you. I do not want money in exchange. That I feel ripped off if that's all I get back from God. And I am here to say what I'm telling you, God's so faithful. He's so consistent. You be true. Be faithful to him. He will absolutely be over faithful to you. So thank you for listening. I'm grateful for that. So that's my financial report to you. You can have lunch now in a moment. So, but God's been so good. And I want you to know Hope Chapel tithes. Your tithe gets tithed on. So that we can continue to plant churches. So our whole church tithes, and then our missions is an offering. So I don't know how God is doing it, which, look at us, but it's amazing, and I love that. And one last thing I just need to add, and you may have received the little insert. Today we will be ratifying, you who are members, voting for, Kenneth or Ken Tracy. Ken, would you just stand? You are the one that we're hoping that the church will affirm to be on the church council. Thank you for saying yes. And his little mini bio, it's a cute one, is right there. And that's a part of our bios, that you make sure the church knows in advance who they're voting for. Well, let's go for it, shall we? Let me transition with one joke, and then we'll jump into it. Heard a cute one. Teenager passed his driving test, so he said, I need to dialogue with Dad about the use of the family car. He said, Dad, is it now time I can drive the family car? So the father thought about it, said, well, let me strike a deal with you. If you would just raise your school grades from a C to a B and read your Bible daily, plus cut your hair, I'll let you use the family car. So 6 weeks later, after the son said, yes, I agree, the father came to him and says, you indeed rose your grades up. Way to go. And I have noticed you have been reading your Bible and studying it every day, but I am disappointed you have not cut your hair. He said, well, Dad, I've noticed in the Bible that Samson had long hair and that John the Baptist had long hair and he was hairy. And even Moses had long hair, and there's strong evidence that Jesus had long hair. And Father thought, he said, but son, you'll also notice they walked everywhere. They went.
That'll teach them.
Father, thank you for opening your word to us right now. It's a short word, but it's a helpful word, and we sure love what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that our theme this year is going the next step. That's our theme here for 2023. So as we take a look at that, it's important for us once again. We've been on a journey to discover what that theme looks like. We looked a couple of weeks ago about praying strategically. Last week it was influencing strategically. Today the message is, as you can see on your bulletin card, it is the extra mile, worshiping to witness. Worshiping to witness. And we're in the book of Acts. We want to take a look at Acts chapter 2. Verse 40. We're going to begin there. It's the day of Pentecost. Shy Peter, who denied Jesus three times, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preaches this whole sermon in chapter 2. It's all there. And the shy, timid Peter preaches, and people get saved. But let's see what's going on here. Verse 40. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. And they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's interesting because in this text we have joining of the church. Our text is the joining the fellowship, but the New King James says, and God added to the church daily those who are being saved. But it's worth noting that in order to join the church, a person needs to be saved. In order to be saved, they automatically get placed in the church. It's just the way God rolled it out. So when we look here, it's amazing how that the early church enjoyed what we enjoy, worshiping, but it translated into witnessing. People get touched by God, and they can't help but share their story. And it's interesting, a good story out by George Sweeting, who was the superintendent of Moody Bible Institute. Every time he spoke, he always would share this story about a John Currier who was basically charged with murder and sentenced to hard labor all the rest of his life. This was in 1949. It was in 1968 that his sentencing would basically was terminated. That, in other words, he was a free man. And so in that process, that letter was sent to him, but it never arrived to him. For 10 years, he continued working hard labor, till eventually a parole officer knew what was going on and went to John Currier and said, John, I'm sorry, this is it. You've been really released. You're a free man. So Mr. Sweeting uses this example saying, what if you had good news, great news, the best news that was involving you, but it never was able to arrive to you? How would you feel? He equates that with, there is a great news that's out for everybody about how much God loves them and has given them real life, setting them free through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, as we take a look at that, we notice here in our text how that the early church enjoyed in-house festivities. We love that. I mean, you look at that, and you can see they enjoyed the apostles' teaching. They're a caring community. I mean, they're distributing their goods to those who were in need. They loved having meals together. They were enjoying steadily fellowship that was happening, and what was worth noting, they made prayer a priority. I'm sure glad we have our four-square movement, 21 days of prayer and fasting. This last week, it'll conclude this next Sunday, but it's been a great journey, especially here in this room during the weekday. So we, Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, Four-Square Church, we're very much like this early church. And on this day that we display what God's doing in our midst, why not talk about it and say, well, who set the agenda for what Hope Chapel should be like? It's really God and His Word. We'd love taking a look at that. So the interior life is displayed, but we have this one little verse. It's verse 47 that says what the church did outside to everyone else outside. And when we look here, they went out, it says, and God added to their fellowship daily those who were being saved. How did those outside get added? They went out. They went and enjoyed worship, but they were so moved by what God has done, they would invite others to know about Jesus. And that circle would continue on. It's a pattern throughout all of the book of Acts. Let me read a couple of more with you in Acts chapter 4. Verse 33, just an example, a hint at, is in 47, but how are they bringing other people to Jesus? Acts 4, 33, the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. Here's another one, chapter 5, verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. People would see that, they'd hear that, and all of a sudden they'd become believers too. God added to the church daily those who are being saved. Here's another one. You look at chapter 8. As you know, the early church started having persecution. Remember when Jesus says, hey, all authority has been given to me. Go into all the world. Tell them what I've told you. They believe, baptize them, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, they were having a great, fun festival like we do, like today, and they would never go out to Judea, Samaria, or the other most parts. So what happens? God permitted persecution, and they scattered. And what did they do when they were running for their lives? Check it out. Acts 8, verse 4 says this, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. I love that. I love that. They did not blame God that somehow they had to run for their lives or forsake their businesses. God did something so tangible to them. Everywhere they went, they were talking about Jesus. So when we look here, the next step for us from worshiping Jesus to saying, you know what, there's something really real about this person. Let's witness about Jesus is very important. You know the church, the word church in the Greek is ekklesia. It's amazing. Why would Jesus, when he named us, he says, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. He claimed it, says he's going to build it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That word church means ekklesia, which is called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. That's really what we do. We are different. You're different. You give your life to Jesus, things are going to look different, feel different. People are going to wonder. They're going to probably try to coach you to be like them because you're going to remind them of things they should be doing in their lives. But you're called out from that. You're the church. You get born again. Now where do I go? You're called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. The word church, ekklesia. But they are also, Greek word, apostos. They were apostles. They went out to tell others. So there are a bunch of saved souls eagerly desiring to save other souls. Let's take a look. How'd they do that? We're going to knock this out and enjoy it together from this one verse 47. It says, point one, it's a divine work. It's got to be God's working. Why are you even here? You might say, well, somebody told me I should come, and I'm glad they did. Boy, that's witnessing for sure. The other thing is there's a divine work because the Lord added verse 47. Let me read that to you again. Acts 2:47 says, "And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added," each day. But the word is the Lord added to their fellowship or to their church, those who are being saved. Does God love people? He does. Every person. God does not love some people or some nations more and others less. That's not God. That's not the way he rolls. You and I know that. He loves every culture. He loves every tribe. He loves every situation perfectly. That's an amazing thing how God can do that. It's really found right there in John chapter 3, verse 16. Let me read that. Familiar passage. It says, "For this is how God loved the world." This is how. How? "He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have" what? "Eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him." I'll tell you, you may have, and I know I have, say, "Well, that's what I really don't like about you Christians, Paul, is that you are also narrow-minded. It's like Jesus only and nobody else gets in. Isn't there other ways to God?" I said, "Well, listen, it's narrow. Jesus is the answer, but the door's open for everybody. Oh, everybody gets to come in. No one is excluded." And you look at those two verses of John 3, 16, 17, the world is used four times. Four times. God is all about that. So the joy and benefit you and I are enjoying, that God still wants to have us reach through our words, through our lifestyle, that we really are people who will influence. Amen? Don't you influence? You do. You really do. We just need to be aware of that. So going the extra mile from praising God to really proclaiming God, that's a joy, and we get to see some of the results this afternoon in documentation of that. It's pretty cool. One of the things that's outstanding, too, is we get a chance then to look at number two. It's a double work. Not only is it a divine work, it's a double work. Still in verse 47, "to their fellowship." God added daily to their fellowship, or the word church, those being saved. And let me read verse 47. It's the only little mini glimpse of what's going on outside and how it's relating to the community. It says, "And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship," or New King James Version says church, "those who were being saved." So he didn't add them to the church without first being saved. If a person got saved, they were added to the church. It's a synonymous approach. It's amazing how that is. You get a chance. I like in Acts chapter 5, you can see how they continued to bring that about when the apostles were working. In Acts 5, verse 12, says this, "The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women." It's an amazing thing. When you take a look there, it says more and more believed. It's pretty powerful when it talks about how it even says, and they were brought to the Lord. So to be born again, person's actually brought to the Lord. God's adding to the church. God's working. It's a double work. That fellowship happens when they are saved. It's incredible to see that kind of a miracle take place. So the believers were increasingly added more and more. True church is literally made up of a bunch of saved souls. Pretty incredible. Number three, it's a daily work. When we take a look at that, I like the fact, you see the phrase, "each day the Lord added." But we highlight each day. It's a daily. Something happens every day when you and I worship Jesus on a Sunday. It's a beautiful, it's a mini vacation. God says, keep that Sabbath. Make sure it's for your benefit. You rest, and it's a day of worship. But then we go out, we just talk about who we are as we follow Jesus. But again, I like reading verse 47. Here we go, Acts 2:47. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So it's a divine work, it's a double work, it's a daily work. And what's incredible, that they didn't have some big mission Sunday, they didn't have some evangelistic outreach. It was just the next step. It was the next step that outflowed from their time being together and from worshiping the Lord. You heard me cite also just the joy and the expectation. When Jesus sees people, when he sees masses of humanity, we really want to have, what would it require of any of us? Is that we just, there's a caring element for people. That we would just love people enough to say, we want to help you. Because any person, we want to be careful not to say, well, just let's just address the person like, wow, they've got a nice set of clothing on. Oh, I like the wheels that they drive. I wonder what kind of wage they make per year. We really should say, well, they could, at any moment, if they were to die, could be cast into hell. That's an important thing to remember. That's why we want to save and talk to people about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, you can see what Jesus' response was when he saw crowds of people. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few, so pray the Lord of who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields." So it's important for us. It's really labor shortage. Send workers. Lord, send workers. We need people to get out there. He didn't say send supervisors or professionals, just people that will give an address. Leading a person to Christ probably really begins with just love. And we know how much the Lord loves us and how much God's wanting to reach people. It's going to be important. I want to just remind you on this great day that we talk about what God's doing in our midst. We are so like the Book of Acts early church. We really are. But we're so modernized. But there's something that is so unique. It's called the Holy Spirit. That's right. That Jesus says, "It's to your advantage. I'm going away," he told the disciples. And they crumbled at that thought. He says, "It's to your advantage." How, Lord? Anybody that opens the blind eyes or multiplies the fish and loaves or even resurrects dead people, how could it be to our advantage? You go away. He says, "If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come, the Helper." We have him. Therefore, because he's in our midst, we follow his lead. And it's an amazing thing how we see so much of what's happening in your setting, in your work, in your relationships. God's recovering things that have one time been lost. But let's remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands," or all the commands, "I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So it's a beautiful thing. We are to tell someone else what we've been taught. That's really how that rolls. That's what I'm just passing on to all of us. And you, in turn, will pass it on to somebody else, what God has done for you. Let me highlight a simple thing as I wrap this message up. And you can see on your notes here, we've placed there, "Tell your Jesus story in 2 minutes." We use this in our own discipleship course called OSL, Operation Solid Lives. But how to share what God's done for you, hopefully in less than 2 minutes, and you may want to take this and write it out. We're certainly encouraging our life groups to examine that. And you can see here, what would you want to write down? What was your life before Jesus? Some of us have been saved so long, you kind of forget the muckety muck God pulled you out of. You actually have to kind of remember in order to appreciate how much you've been forgiven. Isn't that true? Some of you are so new in the Lord, you have a lot more story there because they recall all the garbage that your life's been drugged through. Second thing you want to write down, how did you meet Jesus? Did somebody tell you about him? Did you pray some prayer at a crusade? Were you involved with something that was kind of like an invitation to church? Or just a simple prayed with someone on the television? Just how that was. People want to know. They don't know. And then the third, how's that benefited? In other words, your life since meeting Jesus. How has things improved? That's important. If things haven't improved for you yet, maybe today could be a good day. How you could give your life a complete makeover. What a great way to start the year, by giving your life to Jesus. I want to pray with you right now. Let's take a moment. Maybe I'm talking to someone right now, and I'm so grateful. Oh, you who are following along with us online, usually from a distance, maybe this is that day that you would say, I'd like to be a part of God's church. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. Or you're here, even here. That could be you. Or time to fully commit your life to Jesus Christ. I want to lead us in a prayer. That's a beautiful, easy thing just to simply offer that to somebody. Don't be surprised. I'm finding most people say, I would like him. Hey, they don't know how to find him. You can lead them in a simple prayer, and let me lead us in a simple prayer. It goes like this. Would you repeat this after me? Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Son of God, and that you died for the world, and that you died for me, and rose to life again for me. And I ask you now, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Come into my life. Come into my heart to stay. I trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want to thank you. If you prayed that prayer, would you take a moment and send me an email? That would be great. Notify our office. We'll make contact with you. You know, one of the things that's always a joy for me, I don't always do this, but I think it's so powerful to give a confession about time you may have just gave your life to Jesus or rededicated your life. And if that is you and you prayed that prayer, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor Paul, I prayed that prayer and I meant that. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Good. Okay. I may have overlooked. I was going to have people stand, and sometimes the only reason I do that was just so that we can help embrace, nurture, and grow one another up in the faith. So important. And if, in fact, you prayed that prayer and you've never been water baptized, let's get you water baptized. That's probably a greater declaration of confession, and it's in obedience to the Lord anyway. Amen. How many would say, yeah, so important? It's like a coming clean, but it's more important. It's an identification with Jesus. He was baptized. He's asked us to be baptized. It really shows that we're all in. And so many more great, great, miraculous things about that. Well, with that in mind, I want to just thank you. We want to sing before we prep for anything else going forward. But what a great day. And we've just begun. I'm so excited about that. And for you who have given your life to Jesus, I want to thank you. For you who keep coming to Hope Chapel, being a part of the gathering here, thank you. So many good things. You are the miracle. Somebody says, is God, how do I know God is real? Check out what he's doing. And that's true. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know.
can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.